a stellar Fatal 5-Way, the Street Profits continue to be a joke, and The Fiend attacks Strowman. Your full Monday Night Raw review starts right after this. All right, so we're going to get to the WWE podcast in just a second, but first, do not buy a full-priced hotel ever again. Here's how you can travel to anywhere around the world for an incredibly low hotel price. How about Sri Lanka, Greece, the Caribbean, South Africa, Asia, Bali, Paris, plus anywhere else around the world? Want to know how? It's easy. Here's how. I got my hands on 50 travel discount coupon codes. So if you're interested, which includes hotels, flights, cruises, excursions, etc., it usually ranges between 30 and 70% savings. Just go to this website, igobum.com. igobum.com. That's igobum.com. And enter the code 637171. That's 637171 to set up a free account to search for the lowest prices. You'll thank me later.
Do you hate your job? Of course you do. What if I told you there's another way? That there's a way for you to fire your dumb boss and quit your soul-crushing job? Well, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Actually, there's a shitload of ways. Straight from the minds of a mailman and a customer service rep with art degrees, we'll tell you how to give the middle finger to your mind-numbing, low-paying, soul-crushing job. Learn how to replace your paycheck with profit without a big bank account, even if you're not that bright. When Can I Quit My Job is the podcast that will inform and inspire you to become the CEO of your own life. Listen as Noah, the mailman, and Liz, the customer service rep, struggle to break the shackles of workaday life and give every detail about how they're doing it. Subscribe to When Can I Quit My Job and listen every Monday to become the boss of your own life.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast on this Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, reviewing Monday Night Raw from last night, September 23rd, in what was, I think, a very good show. The improvement and consistent improvement is lending itself to be apparent. And I think it's safe to say we are on the right path for WWE programming. Now, SmackDown Live needs to follow suit. And I think it will, starting with the Fox debut October 4th and main eventing that show, Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship. But we're going to get much more into that as we get closer. But Hell in a Cell is up first. And even before that, Monday Night Raw, which is what this show is all about right now. So we're going to get to the Monday Night Raw review, which I said is, I think, a big thumbs up. Not a stellar, amazing show, but certainly solid, backed by the solid wrestling. I mean, an amazing fatal five-way elimination match. And the ascent of the King of the Ring winner, Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable, continues. And, of course, we have The Fiend, who redebuted and reappeared at the very end of Raw to attack Braun Strowman. We're going to get to my thoughts on that, of course, towards the latter part of this show. But first, again, thank you for joining me on this Tuesday. Hope you're enjoying your Tuesday evening, or maybe it's Wednesday by the time you listen to this, but I want to thank you guys for listening. A couple quick notes, as I always do, a little bit of housekeeping. First, you'll notice a new logo. I got a new logo as of, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, I put the new logo up, so that's now live on every podcast platform that we have, and on the website at wwepodcast.com, you'll see the new logo. Needed a fresh coat of paint. I think that that's always a good thing to keep things looking fresh, so I may also in concert with that, also end up getting a new jingle at the beginning of the show. That's something I'm also looking into. But Anyway, so head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, by the way, if you would like an ad-free experience. I know that sometimes ads can be disruptive, or you just want to listen to something without having to skip ahead with the 30-second ahead button, and you want an uninterrupted audio experience. Well, you can head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and you can get yourself an ad-free experience of every show that I've done. And you can do that for just $1 a month, or you can head on up in higher tiers and get exclusive content and videos and get a shout out on the show. And speaking of shout outs on this show, I would like to give a shout out to the latest patron of the show. It's Mitchell Tillotson. I think I said that right. So Mitchell Tillotson, thank you for being the latest patron of the show. Much appreciated. I hope you enjoy your ad-free content and are a patron for the long haul. I'm looking again at really upping the content quality and content volume of the patreon.com/WWE podcast feed, because I think that it's important to offer exclusive content if you guys want to hear more of me. I mean, I absolutely will continue to do this show for free. That's not going anywhere. And so that's going to continue. But I think that for people who are shelling out their dollars for me to listen to me every month, it's absolutely important that I continue to over-deliver for what they pay for. So that's going to be definitely coming down the road. And I know that video is something I've promised, and it is something that I know how to finally do. As I mentioned in my last show, it was something that was easier said than done, and then I figure out how to actually do it. So video reviews and video, random videos that I will be doing and comments that I have will be uploaded exclusively there, not on Apple Podcasts, not on Google, anywhere else. So, all right, well, let's dive into Monday Night Raw, because I think, as I said in the open of the show, it was a thumbs up show. It progressed very nicely towards the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which is a week from Sunday. Yeah, we already have a pay-per-view around the corner. Hell in a Cell is a week from Sunday. So it is coming at us fast and furious. And the storylines, I think, followed suit in that it progressed some storylines very nicely towards the pay-per-view, as they should. And Seth Rollins versus The Fiend, while it was not a Fiend versus Seth type of night, and Strowman was involved, it still was a nice open from Seth Rollins coming out as Universal Champion and saying that, you know, he's been here for 7 years, but he's never felt like he did last week. And then he was beat down by five guys. He wakes up and the living embodiment of a nightmare is staring him in the face, and that he has to defend his title against The Fiend. And he's going to do what he always does, and that's survive and prevail. That was the slogan for Seth Rollins on Monday night: survive and prevail. And he talks about this again, surviving and prevailing against Braun Strowman. That was just the phrase that he latched onto all night, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine. It's just very promo-y, but it's fine. So he has to face Braun Strowman, but it was of Braun Strowman's aggressiveness that really prompted this match, because Seth didn't say anything derogatory about Braun Strowman. I mean, in fact, he actually kind of complimented him, and Strowman comes out and says that, you know, that Rollins should be defending the title against him and not Bray, playing with puppets and saying he's Mr. Rogers, which I think he must be listening to this show or other shows that have said the same thing. Seth seems to challenge Braun, and Braun tells him that he's going to get these hands later tonight. So a very typical beginning to Monday Night Raw of the promo leading to the main event. And you know what? I know that I have, and many others have, complained about this in the past, that it's always the long promo to open Monday Night Raw that leads to the main event inevitably. And WWE went away from that formula for a while, a number of weeks, maybe even over a month or so, and it was just straight to matches. And that was a nice change. But you know, the tried and true formula of having the promo start Monday Night Raw is just that, tried and true. It just got overused and overextended to sometimes 20-minute segments just to set up the main event and convoluted storylines. This was very straightforward. It was easy to follow, and it was Braun Strowman versus Seth Rollins to main event the show. One thing that was a little bit weird, though, was Seth Rollins talking to Charlie Caruso later in the night when she came up to him and asked him about his match with Strowman later tonight. He said that he's not happy about it, But Seth, you just said that it's whatever he said to Braun earlier in the night. Take that however you want it, and Braun took it as a challenge. So you agreed to this match, so how can you not be happy about it? You could have just said, not tonight, big man. But as a babyface, you can't do that. You always have to take any challenge that comes your way and be a fighting champion and be a man of the people. That's just what apparently WWE views as a 2019 babyface. And to some extent it works, but when it's just heavy-handed like this, I'm not a fan of explicitly saying that you're a fighting champion. I don't like that because it's as if the fan WWE doesn't think the fans are smart enough to understand that that good guys are men and women that are fighting champions and take on all comers, where heels are the ones that retreat and cling onto the championships and do anything to win and cheat to win. I don't need to be told, you know, explicitly that it's the fighting champion that's a babyface. I mean, we get that a lot. We got that with Roman. We're getting that with Seth. I mean, I just don't like it being explicitly told to me. But overall, I think Seth is good as Universal Champion. Am I ready for a change? Maybe. You know, he spent so much time overcoming Brock Lesnar. I don't think it's still the time to take the belt off of him. I mean, he overcame Brock and then lost to Brock because Brock won the Money in the Bank, and then reclaimed the championship from Brock in a very decisive fashion that was not exactly the WrestleMania finish, but should have been. And Brock Lesnar is defeated by Seth, and Seth finally overcomes clean. And that's what you're looking for. And he's got to hold on to the belt for a good amount of time to make that win stick and have meaning. So that's why I don't see Bray Wyatt capturing the Universal Championship at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. On top of the fact that you have Rey Mysterio, who's challenging Seth Rollins next week for the Universal Championship in Phoenix. And how many people actually believe? Raise your hands, everybody. I can see you. Raise your hand if you believe Rey Mysterio is going to win the Universal Championship next week. Not all at once, guys. Not all at once. Yeah. I think we all know that it's a fait accompli that Rey Mysterio does not win the Universal Championship next week. And Seth Rollins did a good job of trying to downplay that possibility of, hey, is this match still going to happen if Rey wins, you know, with him and The Fiend? And Seth said, yes, no matter win, lose, or draw, I'm still going to face Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, at Hell in a Cell. Well, how does Bray Wyatt feel about that, considering that he'd just be facing Seth Rollins in a non-championship match, right? But again, that's how you get championship matches in WWE, folks. It's been the formula since day one. All you have to do is not earn it via a tournament, not earn it via scratching and clawing and begging the management for it. All you have to do is attack the champion. Doesn't matter, backstage, at home, in the ring. All you have to do is attack the champion. I'm serious. I'm not blowing smoke here. Think about it. Think about how many championship matches are awarded by a heel or babyface, for that matter, it happens, attacking the champion. Doesn't matter what championship it is. This theme and this really nonsense runs through all levels of championships. All. And I don't agree with it. To me, you shouldn't be rewarded for that kind of behavior. Think about in any other sport, real sport, not simulated sports here. If we're a simulated sport, you'd want to do what? Simulate a sport. And in real sports, what do you have? You have championships and contenders determined by tournaments and over a long season and elimination. You don't have it done via a attack from somebody who just feels that they deserve a championship opportunity. So that is, it's just one of the flaws of WWE that has been ingrained in the fabric of how they present championship matches for forever, basically. And I'm just, it's a little bit, I don't know. I guess I've almost accepted it because it's been going on for so long, but it's just something to think about. And maybe you've never thought about that. But how is attacking a championship champion okay when you get rewarded for that behavior by getting a shot at the championship because the champion wants revenge? It just, it's a little bit backwards. Okay, I have another small little rant, but I will save that for a little bit more down the line. But first, guys, take a quick break. And then on the other side, we're going to get to not just my rant, but we're going to get to the Nikki Cross match with Sasha Banks, which I have mixed feelings on. And I'm going to, of course, talk about The Fiend and that whole interaction with Braun Strowman, if that's leading anywhere, which I absolutely think it is. So I'm going to give you my thoughts on that and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Do you hate your job? Of course you do. What if I told you there's another way? That there's a way for you to fire your dumb boss and quit your soul-crushing job? Well, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Actually, there's a shitload of ways. Straight from the minds of a mailman and a customer service rep with art degrees, we'll tell you how to give the middle finger to your mind-numbing, low-paying, soul-crushing job. Learn how to replace your paycheck with profit without a big bank account, even if you're not that bright. When Can I Quit My Job is the podcast that will inform and inspire you to become the CEO of your own life. Listen as Noah, the mailman, and Liz, the customer service rep, struggle to break the shackles of workaday life and give every detail about how they're doing it. Subscribe to When Can I Quit My Job and listen every Monday to become the boss of your own life.
All right, so we're going to get to the WWE podcast in just a second. But first, do not buy a full-priced hotel ever again. Here's how you can travel to anywhere around the world for an incredibly low hotel price. How about Sri Lanka, Greece, the Caribbean, South Africa, Asia, Bali, Paris, plus anywhere else around the world? Want to know how? It's easy. Here's how. I got my hands on 50 travel discount coupon codes. So if you're interested, which includes hotels, flights, cruises, excursions, etc., it usually ranges between 30 and 70% savings. Just go to this website, igobum.com, igobum.com, that's igobum.com, and enter the code 637171. That's 637171 to set up a free account to search for the lowest prices. You'll thank me later. Alrighty, guys, let's get back to the show. Let's talk about a little bit more about Monday Night Raw, and I want to talk about the Nikki Cross and Sasha Banks match. This was okay. I'm gonna say the positive things about this match. It's letting Nikki Cross shine more than she ever has. It's giving her more of an opportunity than she ever has in front of more eyeballs than she ever has, with like a bigger opponent than she has ever had, and she's okay in the ring. I don't know if it's that her and Sasha Banks' styles just don't mix, or if they haven't had a whole lot of in-ring time in front of a live audience type thing. Both women are mega talented. That's not the question. Props to both women. It just seemed as if their timing was off with one another. It was slow at times, and that's fine. I don't need every match to be Ricochet style and NXT style of bam, 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 wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I need time to absorb what the hell's going on. You know, I have a really nice burger in front of me. I got fries. Maybe I got a side of potato salad. And I got a drink, right? I don't need to haul it down into my stomach. You need time to enjoy it, right? Most people like to take their time with a meal that they enjoy because it allows you to enjoy it longer and you get to really taste everything that's in that meal. Kind of the same way with wrestling in 2019, but all right. See, I go off on tangents so quickly. This match, though, it had Bayley and Alexa at ringside, and Nikki looked for a crossbody on Sasha. Sasha blocked it and then applied the Banks statement on Nikki, and Nikki tapped out. No shame to tapping out to Sasha Banks right now. That's no surprise that Sasha Banks won, and she's the right person to win here. She's going into a championship match with Becky Lynch at Hell in a Cell, inside Hell in a Cell, which, by the way, I really enjoyed the sit-down interview with Michael Cole. I think it was poignant. I think it was effective. I don't need Becky Lynch there every week. I think that the WWE is backing off a little bit on her, and that's smart. So props to WWE there. I don't know if that was on purpose or just say, hey, we didn't have anything in ring for you, or it was just, you know what, hey, let's step back a little bit on Becky. Maybe we're overexposing her a bit. And maybe that's what they did. But even if they didn't, that's a nice side effect of it. And Becky Lynch, for the first time that I can remember since she's turned, well, heel, which has really turned her face at SummerSlam 2018, she stopped licking her lips like, you know, she's about to I don't know. Eat ice cream. I mean, when you look at how many times and how many promos she's had, it's like this nervous tick she has of licking her lips with every sentence she has. And it's noticeable to me and distracting. I don't know why. Maybe it's something that is doesn't bother anybody else, and maybe nobody else has noticed, but she didn't do that for the first time in maybe forever. So she finally became self-aware or had self-control to not allow that nervous tick to continue. Nonetheless, solid promo. I enjoyed it. Mad props to Becky Lynch and Michael Cole, for that matter. It was a very effective promo. And the fact that Becky Lynch finally pointed out that, hey, yeah, Sasha was involved in the very first women's Hell in a Cell match, but she lost that Hell in a Cell match against Charlotte, if you guys remember. So, very good point. But this Nikki Cross and Sasha Banks match, again, Sasha was the right person to win. I just didn't really particularly get emotionally invested in this because, number one, you knew who was going to win and who should win, because you need to have that person look strong going into a championship match. And two, I don't know if it's Nikki who needs the in-ring work, if these two just haven't worked in front of a live crowd. I don't know what the whole issue was, but it was an okay match. It wasn't a bomb. It wasn't great by any means. It served its purpose, but it felt like it went on a little too long, a little too slow, and some missed spots. Ultimately took me out of the moment, but I think that could be resolved with time. And I'm enjoying the fact that Nikki Cross is getting more exposure than she ever was, certainly. Since she's been with Alexa Bliss, who's really been the star of the show. The only thing I would say about Sasha Banks is, where the hell are her promos? Where are they? I miss them. We really, really, really need a Sasha Banks promo. She came in blazing. White hot. Or just scalding. And what do? They just kind of put her back in to make her feel like everybody else. Unfortunately, that's how she feels. I don't think that her heel turn was a Becky Lynch heel turn, which turned her babyface. It was a true heel turn, and Becky or Sasha was doing a very good job. And her promos have been very good, more natural feeling. It feels like that's more of who she is, talking to the audience, than this forced I'm the boss character. How can I'm the boss character ever be a babyface character? I mean, when you think about it. And maybe Sasha Banks, if she wins the championship, can actually have a successful championship defense for the first time in her career. Again, this is assuming that Sasha Banks wins at Hell in a Cell, of which I don't have my predictions yet, but I will certainly take that under advisement. I did predict that Sasha would win at Clash of Champions. She did not. But Sasha could be the very first legitimate threat to Becky's belt, unless we're going to be seeing a Ronda Rousey return and having her take Becky's belt. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity here, or really potential of what they're going to do. But I would love Sasha as champion, heel champion. But my whole point of this is Sasha needs the mic. They have really lost focus with Sasha, and she's just been kind of put back in to where she was before. And I don't like that. I just don't. Sasha is an amazing performer, and I think that they have cooled off on her when they don't need to and when they shouldn't be at this point. Okay. We had an Ember Moon Lacey Evans match. Lacey Evans wins, I guess, because Canada sucks, as she tweeted out. Loved it. By the way, if you guys didn't see it, Lacey Evans tweeted about Canada and how it sucks, keeping in character. Loved it. Go look at Lacey Evans's Twitter feed. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Loved it. Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse came up, and Bray hung up a picture of Kane and then another blank picture, and he talks to the big puppet and the rabbit, and they said, he said that they have become huge fans of him, and Bray breaks the Seth action figure and says, "Yowie wowie." And then I love when he stares into the camera and then smiles and waves and says, "See you in hell." I'm still enjoying the Firefly Funhouse. I really am. I really, really am. So, all right. Then we get on to Baron Corbin and Chad Gable. This whole King Corbin thing, it's exactly what we all thought we were going to get. It's a gimmick, it's a tournament that is geared towards heels. End of story. And that's what we're getting. We're getting a classic heel King of the Ring. A cocky, arrogant, out of touch from reality king that actually believes he's a king. and continues to wear the crown, although a very much cooler looking crown. A lot of puns towards Game of Thrones, for those of you that are fans of the show, like myself. But a lot of puns there, especially from the announcers. And he has a robe, again, looks a lot like Jon Snow, another Game of Thrones reference. But he continues to play the part well, and he used the scepter as a weapon. That has been done before, absolutely been done before. And this is nothing new. And him, you know, bowing, telling everyone to bow down to him, it's just King of the Ring heel 101 class. That's just what it is. And I'm fine with it. Again, it's nothing new. It's nothing exciting. It's nothing that I think is going to set the world on fire. But it's what Baron Corbin needs right now. And I'm enjoying the hell out of Chad Gable and him. They go very well together. Chad Gable, as I have praised many, many times on this show, is an absolute asset to the company, to this program, and I think has unlimited potential. Do I think he could be the top guy forever? No. He would be lucky to achieve 50% of what Daniel Bryan has. The thing is, he has a lot of Daniel Bryan-esque traits. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Daniel Bryan. I don't want him to be the next Daniel Bryan, right? I want him to be the first Chad Gable. I feel like I just cut a wrestling promo. How many times has that been said in promos before? And he possesses a lot of the qualities that made Daniel Bryan likable on his rise to stardom. He's relatable. He doesn't look like the typical, quote, wrestler. He's a hell of a hand in the ring. And I've said this, and I will continue to say it. Chad Gable's not a guy that will get you excited by his entrance. His entrance is very vanilla. His music, vanilla. His presence on the way to the ring, vanilla. But man, you put that guy in the ring, and he can pull in an audience that is halfway asleep, you know, thinking about they have to work tomorrow. And he was put on late in the show. And boy, did he get that crowd into it. How hard was the crowd in his corner? How much was the crowd in his corner when he was going against Baron Corbin? They continue to tear it down. And Baron Corbin's got to get credit too. I don't think Baron Corbin gets the credit he deserves, because he was overexposed to an insane extent as the acting Raw general manager and really the face of the lowest rated Raw in history and the face of what WWE McMahon, the McMahon family, pointed to of the reason why Raw sucks in storyline, right? That's when the whole, quote, change was supposed to happen. And Baron Corbin didn't go away. He continues to stick around, and he leaves, and he comes back, and boom. He's king of the ring. Baron Corbin is talented in the ring. He's talented on the mic. Does he have the best body? I don't care. I'm not Vince McMahon. I don't give a damn about that. I give a damn about you being able to bring the audience into what you're doing and that they react to what you're doing in the way that you want them to react to it. Not this nonsense crap that, oh, well, as long as they react, they're reacting, that's positive. I don't need that whole corporate speak. That whole not taking responsibility for the role that you're in and being successful in the role that you're in. That garbage has been fed probably to Roman Reigns for years, right? When he was billed as the top babyface but getting booed out of buildings. Well, they're reacting to you. That's what matters. The announcer's feeding you. Oh, loud reaction from the WWE Universe tonight. No. Success comes when you get the reaction. Not just any reaction. A reaction, the reaction that you are trying to elicit from that live audience. You get the boos that you're looking for or the cheers that you're looking for. And Chad Gable right now might be the best hand that WWE has on Monday Night Raw. And I'm not saying that he's better than Ricochet or better than AJ Styles, right? I know that many of you are saying that right now. No, how can he be better than AJ Styles? I'm saying from a pure standpoint of being able to really, really bring the audience in. AJ Styles doesn't even do that right now. And AJ Styles has been really, really just kind of pushed to the side at this point. I know that he was in the Fatal 5-Way and he made a little bit of noise there. But so that's a match I'll get to in just a moment too. But Chad Gable, I continue to sing his praises. I just think he needs to put it all together, a gimmick or some kind of spark to really get the audience, not just with him during the matches, which is an absolute asset and something that is not easily done. And I don't know if anybody on the roster can do it as good as he does at this point. But he needs that yes thing that Daniel Bryan had, right? When Daniel Bryan did it as a heel and the crowd really ate it up and it became the massive world-changing, WWE-changing yes movement. He needs a little bit of luck right now. I mean, he needs to kind of throw some crap at the wall and see what sticks in terms of just trying some new things, trying some zany things, not going off the wall, not doing some 180 gimmick turn and turning it into, you know, Rikishi and Too Cool's dance or some weird thing. I'm talking about a phrase, something you can stick on a t-shirt, something that is different. He needs that a little bit of luck, right? And I think he's off to the races. So it's I'm looking forward to this. We all believe it. I mean, I think it's logical to believe that Baron Corbin and Chad Gable are going to end this at Hell in a Cell, and as they should. Not inside the cell. I don't need every effing match to be inside the cell, but it should end at Hell in a Cell. And I'm done with the short jokes. I mean, please, Vince, stop speaking through your wrestlers. I know that your mentality is to always have a 6'5", 300-pound, jacked up monster as every wrestler on your roster, but I think you need to get over it. And I'm speaking directly to Vince McMahon there, and you know, I'm sure he's definitely listening to this, but that is ultimately who is calling this right now. It's just stupid. It's just stupid for these short jokes, but I'm gonna end it there. And again, massive props and praises to Baron Corbin and to Chad Gable, who continue to tear it down every Monday night now. It seems like a weekly match. All right, and so one other thing I'd like to discuss, one thing I did not like about Raw, is and are the Street Profits. What the hell are the Street Profits? Seriously, like, what are they? I'm not talking about, oh, you should have watched them in NXT. You didn't watch them in NXT. You know what? I didn't. Not that I'm not a WWE fan. As you guys know, I just don't have the freaking time, okay? I just simply don't. I mean, I do the show four nights a week. I work a full-time job. I have a kid. I have a wife. I have a house that I'm selling. There's a lot going on. I just simply don't have the time. I wish I did. So it's not a lack of passion. You're not a true fan. You just watch the main roster crap. I can hear it. But anyway, so I never watched them in NXT. So I don't have the background of who and what they were in NXT. I would imagine that there's some version of what I'm seeing now. But I'm seeing the most obnoxious, unentertaining, go-away heat version of this team right now. I don't need to see and hear them talk about everything else that's going on the roster. And there's a camera, apparently, that feels that it's important to hear how flamboyant they talk about every match on the roster. I guess they're the entertainment. They're supposed to be the entertainment part of the sports entertainment phrase. They are nothing more than a bad, stereotype, unentertaining, obnoxious backstage duo that just continually hangs out in the back to do what? To do what? What are they doing? They don't add anything to the show. Nothing. And to top it all off, they have to stand looking at the camera but talking to each other who are side by side. And this, again, this is a cardinal sin that WWE has had forever, that people talk to each other by standing perpendicular to one another or parallel. Instead of looking at one another, the way that you talk to somebody is stare off in the same direction. That's how you talk to people, if you didn't know. It doesn't look natural. The Miz did the same damn thing. And yes, they were self-aware the camera was there and they did some little, you know, shtick with the camera. And Hulk Hogan got booed, which was pretty funny, when the Miz mentioned that he would be on Miz TV. And so, yes, I did notice that. But I think it's the Street Profits are awful. They're unwatchable right now. Every time they come on my screen, I fast forward. I can't handle them. They're not funny. They're not cool. I don't relate with them. They play on bad stereotypes. They add nothing to the show, and they're making themselves look like fools They don't ever end up in any matches, okay, outside of maybe unadvertised, untelevised dark matches, house shows, I'm sure. Now, we're going to get right back to the show. But first, ladies and gentlemen, you must check out EAW. It's Extreme Annihilation Wrestling. EAW is an up-and-coming independent wrestling promotion based out of Long Island, New York. A couple hours south of here. Check it out. They have a YouTube show called EAW Presents Brews and Bruises with your host, the voice of Long Island wrestling, Marty Speedman. Marty and his co-host, Tim Herbert, discuss the latest news and discussions going on in wrestling. They have many great guests on the show, including Dan the Beast Severn, the Sandman, Sabu, Brian Cage, and the Beer City Bruiser. If you like great wrestling, you gotta check them out. Look up at Marty Speedman on Instagram and Twitter. That's at Marty Speedman on Instagram and Twitter. You can also look up Marty Speedman's YouTube channel for all episodes of Brews and Bruises. And you can check out their gear at prowrestlingtees.com/raw. You gotta check out Marty Speedman and the EAW crew. But I think Vince brought them up with the idea that, oh, these are really colorful, flamboyant guys. We can have them backstage and talking about what else is going on. Well, what about putting them in a freaking program? How about that? How about putting them in something that's meaningful than standing backstage like two clowns? Because right now, they are absolutely unwatchable. There, I got that out of my system. Hope you guys stuck with me. Okay, moving on to something I loved. Something I loved was the Fatal 5-Way match. It was great. It got everybody a chance to shine. Shinsuke wasn't the first guy eliminated, which was really surprising. Although, given he's the Intercontinental Champion, it made sense. So, I loved the reemergence of Rey Mysterio. He dedicated it to his son, Dominic. It's a great story. Rey Mysterio hasn't been champion in, my God, like 10 years, maybe more. I think since I could be mistaken, but my mind is bringing me back to 2006 when he faced Randy Orton and won the World Heavyweight Championship. And I'm sure he won it maybe a few years after that, but that's what my mind is bringing me back to. Regardless, it has been a very long time since Rey Mysterio has been a champion. And even though we all know, that Rey Mysterio is not going to win the Universal Championship, it's still nice to have that possible thought, to see how we all feel when Rey Mysterio is put back in that scenario, to be put back in that place of, my God, Rey Mysterio is still here. He's still got it. And believe me, he's still got it. You still got a chance should be cheered loud and proud with Rey Mysterio, who has not lost a step, which is absolutely amazing. But to see him out there doing what he does is it's awesome. To see him back in the championship picture for the first time since his return is awesome, even though we just know he's not going to win. That's beside the point. It was a great match. A lot of near falls, a lot of drama. The audience was into it, and they certainly were drained by this match. Great. And I think Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins were certainly feeling that when they didn't get a whole lot of audience interaction, at least to the level that they could have, had that match not taken place just before this one. So I really loved this match from top to bottom, and Rey Mysterio winning, I think, was a good choice. I mean, I believe that it was going to be a heel, and Robert Roode got a hell of a shine too, being one of the final two in that match. So Robert Roode is certainly getting his time to shine too. The only problem with Robert Roode is he's got a great look. He's a good-looking dude, good body. His gimmick is one word deep. That's it. It's one word deep, and that's the problem with Robert Roode. He just can't get beyond that one word. It's a good word. It's a fabulous word. Some may even call it a glorious word, but it's one word, and that's all his character is, and it's unfortunate. So I think that's where Robert Roode has really placed the ceiling for himself, or creative. I don't know, probably a combination of both, but again, very good hand in the ring, good-looking guy, and certainly is a skilled performer, but man, it's just he's very shallow when it comes to character development. So Nakamura pinned Ricochet for the three count, so Ricochet getting eliminated first was very interesting to me, because Ricochet has been placed in the main events of Raw for, he was in the main events of Raw for, feels like a month, and was United States champion. He defeated AJ Styles and then gets pinned by Shinsuke Nakamura. Which, look, I'm fine with Ricochet being defined down a bit. I think they shot him to the top too quickly. I don't think they want a repeat of Roman Reigns, and they realized, hey, let's give this guy stepping stones instead of leaping the pack to go right to the finish. There are steps we have to take along the way. So, round of applause, standing ovation for WWE Creative. Again, Rey Mysterio followed up with a frog splash for the three count after he hit the 619 en route and paid tribute to Eddie Guerrero. You could see that after he won the match. And man, Rey Mysterio and Rey certainly had a connection. And Eddie Guerrero is one of my favorite of all time, hands down. Eddie Guerrero, I know you guys have heard me say it before, but any time that he's even brought up a little bit in WWE programming, it makes me just miss the guy. And it's been 14 years, almost 14 years since this guy has left. And I just remember that day. I was in Coastal Carolina and at CCU down in Myrtle Beach. Only lasted a semester there. It's a for multiple reasons. I probably should have stayed down there, but nonetheless. I remember looking at pulling up a WWE.com on my laptop and it said tragic loss. That was the headline. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Is this like clickbait? But it's on WWE podcast or WWE.com. What's happened? And I remember seeing Eddie Guerrero there and I'm like, is this storyline? Did he lose a match I wasn't aware of for a tragic loss? And you click on it and it said Eddie Guerrero was found dead. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. I'm like, I didn't even know this guy personally. And I'm all upset and broken up about it. I'm freaking 20 years old. What the hell do I care, right? You know, I'm worried about where my next beer is, right? And so I remember watching Monday Night Raw. Oh, man. So maybe I'll review that Monday Night Raw sometime. It was just an emotional roller coaster for a guy I didn't even know. It sounds stupid, but... anyway, so that was a cool little tribute. And then we get the main event of Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman. And this was what it was. It didn't really touch their Clash of Champions match, but nor should it have. It was an abbreviated version of it, as expected. This was more about The Fiend. And having anybody win clean here would have made no sense. You couldn't have Strowman lose twice clean, nor could you have Seth Rollins going into a program with Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, in just a couple of weeks, lose clean. This begged for interference, and we got it. It was fine. It's exactly what it should have been. But The Fiend attacked Braun Strowman. So that's an interaction that I know we've all been talking about of when that's going to happen, because, as we all know, Strowman was the big muscle of the Wyatt family towards the end of their run. And so it's interesting to note that they're, after years now, are back together in a program. Now, Seth Rollins is facing The Fiend at Hell in a Cell. I think we can all say in unison that The Fiend should not lose clean by any stretch of the imagination. At the same time, Seth's got also a really, really strong case not to lose either clean. He just overcame Braun Strowman clean. He beat Brock Lesnar clean. WWE has anointed this guy as the guy. And they have made no bones about it and have been very clear about it and have put this guy in a position to be the face of the company as Universal Champion. So I don't think either man can afford at this juncture to lose to the other clean. I think it's going to end in probably a Braun Strowman interference. I understand it's inside the cell, but you could have a Kane 97-esque type of entrance for Strowman who ends up ripping off the door, ripping through something, lifting up the entire cell, doing something insane to go after Bray Wyatt. I think that's how it's going to end and end up in a Strowman-Wyatt program for the next couple of months. And that's probably where they're headed, and Seth goes off to the next opponent. Because I don't think Wyatt lingers long in the Universal Championship picture at this point, because Seth's not ready to drop it. And he shouldn't. As much as we all love The Fiend, I don't think we're ready for The Fiend to be champion. I think there's more to do, more to build, more to tell, more story to be told than having him just go straight for the championship in his second official match back as The Fiend. So right now, I think that's where they go. Again, early call that Strowman interferes and I'm serious. Like, they could do something that makes Braun Strowman look like a complete monster and lifts up the entire cell to get underneath it, to get inside the cell, or rips a hole through it, or does what Kane did again, rips the door off to get inside. I mean, look, that's what Braun Strowman's been doing his entire career. That's what made him the biggest babyface for a short time and continues to make him relevant. That's what you think of as Braun Strowman doing crazy crap. And when he tipped over the ambulance, he's tipped over trucks, he's, you know, pulled down scaffolding and done just wacky stuff. That is a picture that is just waiting to be snapped by WWE.com and plastered on their website. It is a quote, it's a moment. All those moments they talk about. Well, that's a moment that they are probably, salivating over is Braun Strowman and the visual of him destroying the Hell in a Cell to get inside and face the Fiend. I think that's what we get, which is probably going to turn Braun into a heel, because you can't have the audience turn on Bray Wyatt against Braun Strowman. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, alrighty, guys. Well, that's my Monday Night Raw review. And again, tomorrow I'll be back. I'll be back again. That's right. I'll be back for the SmackDown Live review. And then on Thursday, my co-host joins me to talk about everything in WWE that happened this week. And there will be a ton of stuff to talk about, as I always say, there always is. So don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want an ad-free listening experience and exclusive video coming very, very, very soon. And lots of other good stuff. And you get a shout out on the show. You can even create an entire show just for you. If you select that tier that allows that, I can create an entire topic, discuss anything that you'd like me to discuss. It's a pretty cool deal. So head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, or just head on over to planonoldwwepodcast.com, and you can support the show there through the support the show tab. And you can click on the Amazon link, brings you right to Amazon. You just do your normal shopping, and it kicks back a little bit of whatever you buy to the show. So lots of good things. You can also do another rating and review for me on any podcast app that allows it. So lots of good ways to support the show. If you like this show and you'd like to spread the word, well, just tell a friend. How about that? Just say, hey, you guys check out the WWE podcast. It's a cool little deal. All right. That's enough pandering. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time.